Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980, where you see that we got our guy Linnell Willingham with us. He's calmed down from his 3 hours with the Rooster.
It was actually a calm 3 hours today.
What?
When I say calm, relative to what it normally is. Okay. That's one of my resolutions for 2025, is become a little bit more sane on the air.
Okay. Just as an actor, are you trying to like have that be actor? No. You're trying to be more sane in real life, and that comes
in real life. In real life. Because, you know, the same guy that's off the air is the same guy on the air, which has led to some problems in my life. So, anyways.
That's a good resolution. So I was on with you and Denton Day on Sunday on the Burgundy and Gold pregame show. And as I'm signing off, I'm sitting there at my home studio on the Comrex on the stream doing the whole multimedia bit, and I click off the stream, but I still got the Comrex on, and I hear you say, "I need to make an appointment with Craig." And Denton was very confused, and shame on Denton Day for not listening to this show every minute of every day that we're on the air, and thus knowing that football therapy is a thing that we do on the show.
Yes,
but you were like, "No, he's a certified football therapist, and I need to make an appointment."
Yes.
And so, Linnell, we got you on the schedule. We created an opening in the office.
That's amazing.
What do you want to talk about today, young man?
There's a lot I want to talk about. First of all, thanks for inviting me back, because we love doing this. I think where I was the last time I was on the Hoffman football therapy couch and where I am currently, two completely different guys.
Okay. He's making partially, a resolution. He's a
partially
man.
Because part of the the word I'm looking for. Part of the remedy, part of my therapy outside of the couch is listening to the Take Command podcast, giving myself real smart analysis to calm me down at times and corroborate some of my thoughts. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, the philosopher Paulson's a good one to consume become a better thinker about the game. I
for sure
fully endorse that.
And I even enjoyed the substitute Paulson last week.
Oh yeah, we did play Swap Paulson on post game with Grant.
When you said
in.
That on the pregame, got a little chuckle out your boy. Swap that Paulson sounds like a
funny guy,
a TikTok dance.
Funny guy,
but I think first of all, let's just give an early lean. This is a teaser for anybody that hadn't heard what I've thought yet because we didn't discuss it with Chris. My early hunch here on a Wednesday is that Washington is going to find a way to win its first postseason game since 2005. That's my early lean.
Okay.
What I'm here on the therapy couch for is to, I guess, make me feel less insane. And it's something that you and Logan mentioned on the pod. And
okay.
I have been beating this drum all year long, but my thought process on it is changed after listening to the latest episode of Take Command. Get that wherever you download your podcast.
Thank you.
The run defense is drove me up a wall all year. I think I've had so many conversations with you. I've texted back and forth with Logan. Me and Anthony have screamed about it when you haven't been in. Like, it's just been a full circle thing where not if it's about who's right or who's wrong. I've long thought that it's their biggest issue and it will get them bounced from the postseason. But after listening to you all, I'm almost, and tell me if I'm picked up you all's drift correctly. When you talk to high school coaches, college coaches, NFL coaches, they'll tell you their number one principle defensively is to stop the run. I don't think that is Washington's philosophy, at least the 2024 Commanders. That's not their philosophy.
Right.
Their number one philosophy is not giving up the explosive. And they're willing to sacrifice and concede other things in lieu of keeping that like the main thing.
Yes.
And I think it's made me go, well, what should really be my bigger focus and emphasis when I talk about this defense? We know they're not good at stopping the run. It's been the case all year long through 18 weeks of football. It's not just going to randomly change in the wild card round of the playoffs. But I think what we saw last weekend against Dallas is more the blueprint here. Bend but don't break. Make teams kick field goals. However you get to that outcome, a field goal attempt is what they want at the end of a drive. They're okay with that all day long because they know their guy is going to go score touchdowns.
I think that's true. And I think that in order, if you're a fan, it's going to involve understanding you're going to have to embrace some discomfort, which is not very fun.
That's why the therapy's here.
Yeah, that's why the therapy's here. We're gonna try to come up with some mechanisms. and sometimes the mechanism is simply awareness. Sometimes the thing that you need to feel better about something is just a deeper understanding of the feeling. And it's someone being like, don't worry about it, and invalidating your feelings, because watching the Commanders give up 6 yards here and 7 yards there and 8 yards there doesn't feel very good. But watching them get goal line stops feels good.
Yes.
And trusting that, hey, it's going to be okay. They move down the field. They're at the 30-yard line. Okay, let's see if they can do it. Knowing that they're going to have to make plays in condensed spaces, knowing that some of the turnovers that the Commanders have had this year, which is not as many as they want, and hopefully is not as many as they'll generate in the future when they get some more talent on that side of the ball, that it often comes in the red zone because the space becomes so much more condensed.
For sure.
And it's a lot easier to stop the run, for instance, down in the red zone because you're not worried about getting beat over the top. So those safeties that are playing at 20 yards in the field are now in the red zone playing at 10 yards, and thus the 8-yard run's a lot harder to come by, which when you're at the 8-yard line is really what you're going for. So I think that, embracing the fact that they are making, and what we talked about in the pod to flesh it out a little bit more for folks, and Linnell, thank you so much for listening, is that you can tell based off who Washington puts on the field. They play a ton of nickel, and specifically, even when Dallas had two running backs or two tight ends out on the field, they still were in their nickel personnel quite a bit. So they favored speed and the ability to cover space in the pass over run defense, and they're playing with light boxes. They're playing with six in the box a lot and trusting that their guys can come in from wider spaces and make tackles, but that is better than being exposed to giving up 30, 40, 50-yard chunks.
Yes.
And where that, and that strategy is fine as long as you don't give up what you gave up to Saquon Barkley and give up 68 yards and a touchdown in one chunk.
So here's the other thing, too, that I thought you and Logan did a nice job hitting on from a numbers standpoint. Maybe I didn't think of it this way. When they're playing these light boxes, I guess to skip to it, like, they could live in the light box. I think they wanted, and this was probably their principle from when they first took this job. They're saying, this is how we're going to play the run. When you have the highest paid interior rush duo in the NFL, in Deron and John, you simply expect them to make you right and beat blocks and beat double teams on a more consistent basis, and they have not done it, and it's compromised this defense a ton this year. Because I think when they're installing your stuff and you look at, the cupboard's bare. Let's make no mistake about it, right? Like, I don't think they have a lot of talent on that side of the ball. The two dudes that you circle when you take this job, Craig, you know, is Deron and John, and you expect them to be game wreckers sporadically, I guess. I don't think you're expecting it down in and down out, but I think you expect them to have more impact plays, to live on the other side of the line of scrimmage more than they do.
I would actually love to ask Dan Quinn and Joe with that, in some kind of way that they would be honest. They're very, and especially Dan, but I think Joe follows in Dan's footsteps on this. They're very, very reluctant to criticize players individually. Yes. It's just not how they roll. They're very, very positive. I do think they do it behind closed doors. I think everyone in the building knows exactly where they stand. But like, those guys are not dummies. They've watched the Commanders on tape, and John and Deron did not get paid because of how they play the run. Maybe a couple of years ago, John was considered pretty high up there and Deron's had his moments, but I think they know that those two got paid because they put up double digit, or Deron put up a double digit sack season, and John was consistently right below it. And that kind of pass rush from a three technique or from a defensive tackle, in Deron's case, like, that's really valuable. Those guys can make plays behind the line of scrimmage, like you said, but they're not true run stuffers. And I wonder if they thought they could come in and turn them into guys who made more plays behind the line of scrimmage consistently, or did they just know this is part of what we're going to have to eat this year, and we know that contractually these guys in 1 to 2 years will probably be somewhere else, and we're just going to install our defense and roll with what we roll with and hope that some of the younger pieces can learn because we think that they're good enough. But then again, like, Johnny Newton's the same kind of player in a lot of ways. So they drafted Johnny Newton.
Yeah,
they drafted Johnny Newton. So my thought is, and by the way, The guys they had in Dallas were pretty lighter or pretty light.
That's
so,
why Mozzie was supposed to be their saving grace. He was the heavier hulking guy, and he's been a bust.
Yeah, he has not been very good for them. Yeah. So I do wonder like what the plan is there.
Yes. And so do I. And do they change it this offseason and try to go with bigger, more hulking bodies in the middle to potentially,
because that is kind of the Peters Quinn way, is these guys have traditionally gone. Well, yeah, but they've also traditionally gone with like bigger bodies. I mean, we joked about it during training camp that like you could point around the field and be like, that's a Peters guy, that's a Rivera guy, yeah, based off who was big and not, outside of like Mike Sainer still, who has the heart of a lion.
Yes.
So I think it's an interesting point. I don't have, as your football therapist, I don't have anything to make you feel better other than validating that your feelings here and saying like, yes, I do think that when you have that much money invested in that spot, you are hoping that that is played better, more consistently. You'd also hope guys like Furl on the edge maybe set a little bit better edge a little more often, because that's kind of his jam more than it is being a pass rusher.
Real quick, the other thing, and I know we're running out of time here, that I was saying,
if you got time, we can roll over one more segment too.
We may be able to roll it over, but real quick. I talked about it today, and I think you guys maybe mentioned it too. They got to earn the right to rush the passer and put Frankie Louvo on the edge as well. Like, they can't just – I don't think he could just live like that in early downs, because setting the edge isn't his strong suit. Fowler setting the edge isn't his strong suit. Like, I think he'd be better
on – first and second down efficiency is always a thing. But I think I like about – and this got into some really nerdy stuff that Logan was super psyched about on the podcast. Like, they'll play six in the box, but sometimes it's a 4-2 alignment and sometimes it's a 5-1 alignment. So five defensive linemen versus four, one linebacker versus two. And, like – when you call a play as a play caller offensively, you probably are calling a run based off of, I think it's going to work better against this front. Like, some runs are better designed to work against. Like, if you call a trap and you're trying to trap a three technique and all of a sudden, you know, you got a nose guard you have to deal with, like, that's a bit of a different challenge versus, oh, it's a three and a one technique, which is just fancy terminology for where the dudes line up up front. The details don't matter for that particular point. The point is that by having that flexibility with Louvu of him sometimes kind of playing as an edge player in an odd front with five defensive linemen versus off the ball with four, like, it does create some challenges. It's tough. And then, like, Chin will come down in the box, and sometimes it kind of looks like a 3-4 front, and you're just lighter in the back end. So they mix it up quite a bit, which I think is good. The problem is trying to guess what's the best thing down in, down out has not always been super consistent, because they've been – awesome.
They've been gashed at every look.
They've also gotten tackles for loss in every look.
So exactly.
That is,
i.e., they just need better personnel, probably. I think that's
partially, but also to go back to your original point, that's run defense in the NFL.
Right. You need bodies. I think you need the bigger bodies in the middle.
If you get some bigger bodies and you can have the line move less, like, that's good.
Yes.
But as long as you don't give up the big one, you live with that stuff, because the other thing is eventually most teams will commit a penalty or have a negative run or something.
Unless you're Washington in the third quarter against Atlanta.
In which case you just march your butt down the field, or you're Marcus Mariota in Washington.
Right.
And you just march your butt down the field. The thing is, against Atlanta, there was that one really long drive they had to start the third quarter. They had like two penalties on the drive and they just didn't matter. They just ran right through them. So not ideal, but most teams will do that and go from there. Do you have anything else on your chest that you would like to get off in the next segment?
You all are doing a tremendous job, and listen to Take Command if you want to get smarter about football. Even someone like me that professes he knows everything.
Clearly, you do profess that. I think maybe humility.
To Take Command.
I think humility.
That's part of the goal. Yes.
Is
but I love listening to you guys on my ride in on Wednesdays and Thursdays. You always are getting a spin.
Well, we'll have a fresh one for you tomorrow. On your way in. Thanks for stopping by, buddy.
Yes, indeed.
Appreciate you. Shoot, Anthony, what are we doing next then? This is the first time Linnell's ever done just one segment.
You're expecting to get a double dub?
Yeah, okay. What are we doing now?
I have my gym attire on. For the people that are on stream, I'm wearing leggings. That means gym attire.
They can't see your leggings. They'll trust. Linnell's trust wearing his leggings.
So yeah, because I go down
there. Are you going to wear those shoes to the gym too?
I'm actually going to go barefoot.
Okay.
I lift without shoes on.
Okay. I'm not anti that. Just, you know.
Yeah.
Sanitary.
I'm a wiper.
Good.
I treat the gym better than I treat the computers.
Thank God.
I knew you were looking for one on the way out. There we go. Thank you, my friend.
All right. Well, now we've run over time. Well, Anthony and I will figure out what we're going to do in the break next.